Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast,
bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Basically, Kelly, I didn't get your thoughts on the game, but we also have breaking news that you're going to love this. Strong leader Kyle Shanahan fires Steve Wilks as defensive coordinator of the 49ers.
Well, yeah, so somebody got to take the fall for it. Hey, you didn't get it done in the last minute. You know, hey, what? You only hold Patrick Mahomes to 25 points.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, you know, it was the defense's fault with the score at 19-19. Going into overtime, it was the defense's fault that the 49ers could not convert third and four two times in critical situations.
I watched that third-down play, and I don't understand how is it that you can tell me you're firing a defensive coordinator when you allow Chris Jones to become unblocked. If one person is going to come unblocked, it can't be Chris Jones.
Hey. You know, Kyle doesn't handle that. I mean, clearly someone else needed to handle that. That's not Kyle's fault.
You know, because if you're the guy who's drawing up the play, you want to tell me that you didn't mention, guys, we got to get Jones blocked. It's like calling a play and not assigning two people, one to chip and one to block Lawrence Taylor. They said, nah, don't worry about Taylor. Just let him run free. You know, I mean, Chris Jones had a straight run, and Purdy's kind of lucky that he didn't try to hold that ball, because I'm not sure you'd be able to complete the pass, but he would have get hit really, really hard.
Well, this is the thing. People were saying, oh, Purdy's got to step up and take that hit and complete the pass. I don't think Brock Purdy's arm is strong enough to do that play yet. I'll be perfectly honest. Like, I know people keep saying that, like, I'm not a big Brock Purdy supporter. I'm just realistic. At this stage of his career, strength-wise, I don't think he has the arm strength to take that hit and deliver the pass over the middle to Ayuk for a touchdown. There's a certain level of you gotta have it to get to that stage, and there's only like a handful of guys I would actually trust taking a hit from Chris Jones and being able to complete that pass over the middle, because everyone keeps saying that was an easy touchdown pass to Ayuk. That is not an easy touchdown pass with Chris Jones on your ass.
No, it's an easy touchdown pass to Ayuk if somebody at least chipped Chris Jones.
Well, this is what I'm saying, though. But this is what I'm saying, though. The Chiefs disguised the blitz coverage, and Brock wasn't able to read it at the line of scrimmage. He wasn't able to read the blitz package that the Chiefs were coming up with, and so that's why the linemen got confused, because they're seeing the movement on the outside, so they jumped to the outside. And yes, it leaves Chris Jones open, but your instinctual reaction as a lineman is you slide to the outside because you don't want it coming around the blind side. You're not expecting that inside rusher to go free. I know people like think it's crazy, but you have no idea how quickly that can change on a dime, because you're thinking of the outside rush. You're not thinking about the power rush coming sliding in, because you still think that center is going to be able to pick it up. But that's the thing. It's like, I look at this from the standpoint of, and this is why I had concerns about Brock Purdy throwing the ball, and that the game plan should never have been Brock Purdy chucking the ball. Ladarius Sneed said it. It's like, we wanted Brock throwing the ball. When the Chiefs, defenders are outright saying they wanted Purdy throwing the ball, you know that should never be the game plan. The fact that Kyle Shanahan, in the most critical downs, got away from Christian McCaffrey, that is what people should be talking about. Like even before we get into the overtime decision, that again makes no sense. If you honestly understand game theory and even the game of football itself with the rules, just how they're laid out, there's no situation you ever take the ball. But even before we get to that, the fact that he went away from Christian McCaffrey not once but twice, that's why he deserved to lose that game. Like, you brought Christian McCaffrey for those moments and you ignored him. I cannot get over that. I cannot get over that. Just in terms of watching that game again, I just can't get over it. I can't get over the thought process how that could ever be the play.
Like I said, I don't understand how is it that you can't figure out that one guy who cannot be running free is Chris Jones. You gotta account for, if this is third down, and you know, especially where you are, so you don't want to have to kick a field goal, because don't tell me you're playing for a field goal there. You don't want to have to kick a field goal. So you get your best play. And you gotta let people know, hey, Chris Jones can't be the one to beat you. If you are double on Chris Jones or chip him or something, and somebody has run free, you know, one of those other guys, then you just say, you're going to have to live with that, you know. We dialed it up this way, and so we kind of come, because you never could have come for every single person.
But this is the problem, Cali. They had timeouts to go over this. They had timeouts.
But they had a whole 5 minutes to decide which, if they're going to take the ball or not, and they ended up taking the ball, which was the wrong decision. So the fact that you have timeout, this is what I'm saying. I don't understand. And people keep talking about other things, but my problem is this. How is it? Look, let me tell you something. In that Super Bowl with Cincinnati and the Rams, Aaron Donald was getting double team. He was just beating the double team.
Yeah.
That way, you just tip your hat to Aaron Donald and say, look, he wasn't going to be denied, because he was getting double teamed. Okay? But he was just beating it and wrecking the play, because he was kind of unstoppable that afternoon. So when that happens, it's fine. But that's not what happened with Chris Jones. As soon as the ball was snapped, Chris Jones was across the line. Yeah, which means he was unimpeded to the quarterback. It's almost like he was offside. But he wasn't offside. But there was nobody there. And that should never happen. I don't know how people is not talking about that some more. You can't let the best guy, they always say, don't let the best guy beat you. Do your best. If he overcomes all of that, then you say, look, this guy is just great, you know, whatever. But you can't let the best guy beat you. Can't. You just can't. It's dumb. You know. So I don't know. So you can fire Steve Wilkes if you want, you know. Yeah, because what he should look at is what was Kansas City offensive line doing better than what our line was doing? Because, you know, Kansas City is the one who had problems with their line, so they obviously fixed it, you know, for that game. And you know, yours didn't do their jobs. Because like I said, in overtime on a third down play, you let the best defensive player, one of the best in the league, run free. That's inexcusable. It's like you're playing the Bronx in the Super Bowl, and nobody accounts for, you know.
Well, I will say that if it was the Browns, and I keep going over this, Myles Garrett wasn't even the most impactful rusher on the Browns this year. But anyway, that's a different story. Different story. But yeah. but that's where I just keep saying it's like it's so ridiculous because again, the questions that have to be asked of the 49ers aren't the team. The team's fine. There's more enough talent on the team. The question is, when are the 49ers ever going to get that favorable of a matchup again? Because, again, if you look at that, the 49ers were clearly the more talented team. It just came down to the fact that they could not get out of their own way. And I don't know what's going to make it any easier for the 49ers to win a Super Bowl if they can't win that matchup.
Well, I think as Lewis Riddick was talking about that this morning, that everybody keeps talking about the overtime, but you know what happened in the regular in the regular game, that they had all these opportunities, they dominated the first half, and came away with nothing, you know. So while the overtime was glaring, you know, because it's the thing about it is this: when you're playing against guys like Mahomes and Brady and Jordan and them, if they're not having their best game, you know, you gotta take advantage of that while they're cold, because sooner or later they're not going to go through a whole game without doing some magic. So you gotta get as much space as you can, so that when they start, you got thing to defend, you know. And this is like I said, this is the third straight time that you saw Shanahan wants the other team. In the big game, when the other team started making their moves, he couldn't do it.
Yeah, but
you know,
hold on 1 second. Because the thing that I want to talk about and I want to dive into, because we talked about this from a regular standpoint, just like even the basics of the game. I just want to go back through this one more time, just because this is the thing that drives me the craziest about why I know Kyle Shanahan had a mental breakdown and was feeling the pressure. Because from every standpoint, when you take the ball in overtime first and you've already score, I mean, Lord knows, like, they should have... They got bailed out by the Chiefs with the penalty. They got bailed out on that 3rd and 22. That should have been a punt, and they should have been screwed. But they got bailed out. So, that being said, they had the good fortune of turning that penalty into a score. Should they have gotten a touchdown out of it? Yeah, if you focus on Christian McCaffrey on the 3rd and 4, you get the touchdown if you run it twice and go for it on 4th down. You know what the problem is? Because you've already scored, the Chiefs already play with 4 downs. You give your opponent 4 downs. I don't understand how people still cannot fathom why going second is more optimal, because you already know what you need to do. And so you can just keep going for it with 4 downs. Like, having an extra down to operate in football is paramount. Because you at least know what you need to do, so you can plan out your drives more efficiently to get 10 yards. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. That's why I know Kyle Shanahan was panicky when he took the ball.
Look, let me tell you something. the only people who's going to agree with that decision to keep to take the ball is, I won't even say a 49er fan, it's a Shanahan fan. Because if I'm a 49er fan, I'd be really, really pissed off. Because not only that you're giving the other team a chance to have four down, you're giving Patrick Mahomes a chance to have four down. He don't make mistakes in the fourth quarter like that. So you want to limit the amount of downs he has, not give him an extra one. You know? Because remember, you basically stopped him. Because it was fourth and one. But I don't know who would have put money that they wasn't getting that fourth down. I mean, that was probably one of the easiest downs he got, you know, and he had multiple choice because he could have just flipped it to Kelsey, but instead he just kept it and Kelsey blocked him.
So Callie, I want to throw out a stat for you. Patrick Mahomes, in his 7 years, obviously he's you know, the first year he didn't play in the playoffs because it was Alex Smith. But since that time, Patrick Mahomes, he's had multiple playoff games, obviously Super Bowl runs. He's also had games where it's in the fourth quarter or overtime where the drive ended with under a minute left to play. And the offensive team was either tied or trailed by 7 points or fewer going into the drive. Do you want to know what Patrick Mahomes' conversion rate on those drives is? So, let's go back through. Fourth quarter or overtime, the drive ended with under a minute left to play, and the offensive team either tied or trailed by 7 points or fewer going into the drive. So, basically, the Chiefs either need a touchdown or need a field goal to extend the game or win the game. What do you think his conversion rate is?
I don't know, but I know it's up there.
All right, I'll give you the stat. Since 2001, in that scenario, 56 quarterbacks have led 125 drives in the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes has led 7 of them. Do you want to know what his conversion rate is out of those 7 drives?
Yeah, let me in.
100%. He's 7 for 7. Do you want to know who's next highest on that?
No.
The second place is a pretty obvious answer though.
I saw that it's yesterday. I think Brady was the next one with 2 or something like that.
So basically, Mahomes is 7 for 7. Brady is 2nd with 5 successful drives, but he had 11 total. So he failed right on 6 of them.
Right.
Mahomes is 7 for 7. Everybody else, whether it's anyone you want to name, Peyton, Breeze, Aaron Rodgers, Roethlisberger, no one even has 4 of those drives as QBs.
That was Graziano's reason why it's got to be crazy to take the ball. Because he threw that out yesterday morning. Why would you give a guy who is 7 for 7 in fourth quarter, why would you give him the ball 2nd?
I could see, and guess what? Point blank, Bills fans only have themselves to blame for this, because congratulations, Bills fans, because of your whining about the overtime rules, you gave Patrick Mahomes the perfect scenario to win yet another title before Josh Allen even gets there. Because literally, Bills fans could have told you this was a terrible idea. No one actually thought that was a good idea except Kyle Shanahan. That's got to be the dumbest. And I'm going to say this again. it's got to be the dumbest decision since Pete Carroll decided to throw an inside slam from the 3-yard line with what he has, Marshawn Lynch, and 3 downs to work with.
You know, every time you listen to Shanahan explains that, with that shit about getting the ball cleared, I mean, so you're telling me you're giving away the first 2 drives. You know that you're probably going to kick a field goal or score a touchdown, and then they're going to, score a touchdown too or kick a field goal too, and so that when you get the ball cleared, they won't be able to stop you, and you'll kick a field goal and win the game. Now, that is something you see in a movie. You know one of the movies like Waterboy or something? That's something.
It's such an idiotic premise.
Oh, please.
It was like, yeah, we're going to trade scores. It'll be like college. College overtime is the dumbest setup I've ever seen, where they change the rules of the game just because it's overtime and everyone starts at the 20. You could try to make that argument in college football, and guess what? Some college football coaches try to make that argument, and then guess what? It got proven how fucking stupid, pardon my French, how stupid that was, because they realized going second was always more optimal. College figured that out pretty quickly. No one thinks going first makes a lick of sense.
No one.
You know. Like, we want to go third. Are you kidding? What? That's how I know he was going through it. He was going through, it's like, I remember you, like, you don't watch Succession, but I basically called it a Kendall Roy-like implosion, because that is the most logical thing that you should see coming, you don't know how to pivot around it, even though you're a smart guy.
Look, he can tell me what he wants, okay? He can tell me what he wants. That he thought about getting the ball to it or whatever. You know, I mean, you handed Patrick Mahomes 4 downs. And that's the thing that I think, you know, the fans are not watching it, is that you gave him an extra down, because if he's getting the ball second and he fails on 3rd down, you haven't done anything because he's going on 4th down. You see? And even if you score a touchdown, depending on how easy it was, they could still, now they may not have done it, you know, but they, if it looked easy enough, they could have still go for 2 and still beat you. So the thing about getting the ball third was so dumb. It so don't make sense that I don't know.
When you have folks that are in high pressure situations going through like trauma or like just panicking, and they try to cover up what, like, they try to rationalize their flawed decision making, that's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like it makes it look of sense if you rationally look through it. Like, people may not want to hear this because they're 49ers fans, but you actually have a serious problem now with Kyle Shanahan losing confidence in himself in high-pressure situations, because the decision-making that's going on is questionable at best, because there's no way you can justify that. Any coach in college will tell you how flawed that strategy is. Kyle Shanahan knows that wasn't an optimal play, but in his head now, he's just telling himself, yeah, I think that's the way to go. Because when you are literally struggling to get to a place mentally to process all the things that happened during the game, that's why Kyle Shanahan got into that space, because he got psyched out by the Chiefs making the comeback. He's like, how is this game even in overtime? He can't believe it himself that game was in overtime.
I think he took the ball because he wanted to see if he could score. You know, to see if he could score. And then maybe, forget that thing we tell you about. You know, I think he just
wanted. But, Kelly, I don't think he knew the rule. I don't think he knew the rule. I don't think he knew the rule. Like, because everyone keeps trying to do the mental gymnastics. I honestly think he had a brain cramp and thought if he scored a touchdown first in the overtime, he wins the Super Bowl. I think it's just that simple. I honestly think it's just that simple, and he forgot. And he doesn't want to admit it.
I would have given a month, even though I don't get paid anymore. But I would have given a month's pay to see the 49ers score a touchdown and they run on the field.
Kelly, I think it's really that simple. Everyone's trying to do mental gymnastics to figure out, oh, yeah, if he gets the ball third, he score. Oh, the defense was tired, so he wanted to give him a break to have a chance. So if the offense scores, they would have enough energy to stop Patrick Mahomes. I honestly think he just forgot the damn rule. I think he forgot the rule.
Tell me something. Because this is the second time I've heard this in the Super Bowl. Only Kyle Shanahan defense gets tired? Because remember, that was the talk with the Atlanta game.
Oh, yeah. The defense got tired. They got tired.
The defense stayed.
So, when Brady's driving, I guess it was like the defense got tired. They couldn't do anything. So, like,
that defense, I gave a little bit of a pass because for the entire second half,
Atlanta kept putting the ball back.
They kept giving the ball back, and the defense kept being out there. So, yeah, I give them a little thing with this. Hey. You just went on a drive that took 7 and something minutes, okay? Because that drive that they had, that they got the field goal out of, it took like 7 or 8 minutes. So how are you gonna tell me? So the Chiefs defense wasn't tired, huh? How is Chris Jones flying out at your quarterback? So only your defense got tired?
I'm telling you, Kelly, the amount of excuses I keep hearing to justify Kyle Shanahan's decision-making, I'm tired of it. Like, the most logical explanation that no one wants to admit is, what if he just forgot the rule? And it's now just doing all these, like, ridiculous explanations to cover it up, the fact that he just had a brain cramp and forgot the rule. Because guess what? That's the most logical thing. Because even the 49ers players told you, oh, I didn't know that was the rule that both teams get the ball no matter what. They didn't even know. So if they didn't know because the coaches didn't practice it with them, how are we supposed to be assuming that the coaching staff remembered? If they never practiced that scenario. Anyways, folks, we'll be right back after this. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
We're back, and Gally, let you go back through this point about the overtime, because I still can't get over it.
Well, you know, because, well, maybe that's why Steve Vince got fired. You know, Steve Vince didn't tell him.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's Steve Vince's fault.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's Steve's fault. Steve needed to get both sides of the ball up to speed on the overtime rule. That was Steve's role on the team. Yeah. I mean, I'm just, I just got so sick of just...
The stupid thing about it is this, okay? The stupid thing about it is this. Yeah, I know Buckner and them said they didn't realize the rules. But the problem was, once Kansas City got on the field, if he didn't stop them from scoring a touchdown, the game was over then. It wouldn't have been over if you scored a touchdown, but you know for sure. The fact that you only kicked
the
field goal, that
it was against. Well, that's why people are like, well, the rule change didn't really impact things because Kansas City scored on their possession, so it really didn't factor. It's like that wasn't the point. The point was you literally had a team give away their advantage because they didn't understand the rule. They did not understand the rule.
Because anybody who say that, don't really understand how the game works, okay? Because when the Patriots got accused and Marshall Faulk still gets pissed off anytime you talk about that, because they thought that the Patriots kind of knew the plays that were coming. So that's the advantage. If you go into overtime and you take the ball first, as long as it's not sudden death immediately, then the team that comes last always have the better deal. I don't understand. First, they begin, they know how much points they need to score. If you only score three, they know if they score a touchdown, they win for sure. Or they can just kick a field goal and tie it, and then go to sudden death. So how the hell are you going to tell me with so much options in their hands that you didn't blunder by giving it to them? I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
I'm just so over this. Like, it's like I kind of need a week to decompress to get off of the Super Bowl talk, because the amount of dumb comments I've just heard try to rationalize everything that went on, when the most obvious thing was we had a team just not know the rule book that made it to the Super Bowl. Like, that's just the reality situation. The 49ers did not know the rule book.
Why do you think that Kanahan had a brain fart when he took the ball? I think he had a brain fart when he gives the explanation for why he took the ball.
Well, at that point, that's the thing. When you already know you screwed up, you start scrambling for any explanation you can think of to cover up the fact that you screwed up, because you just don't want to admit that you made a mistake. So that's where I think Shanahan, like, he just compounded how ridiculous he sounds by trying to make up an excuse, because that, to me, he just didn't want to say that. It's like we thought we were under the impression that if we scored a touchdown first, we the game was over, and just own it, just own it. But because he's trying to cover himself up, he made up this ridiculous narrative, and then people are actually trying to, because they like Shanahan, they're trying to find a way. It's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Get the ball third. Wow, I can't believe I didn't think of that.
It's the dumbest thing. You give the other team all the options on the table, everyone. Because the only thing you can get out of that game, out of taking the ball first, is that you might score a touchdown, but you're not winning the game yet. If you're that confident that you can score a touchdown, then you definitely take the ball last. Because then you know if you're just going to win the game because they only score a field goal, or you're going to tie the game by driving on a score a touchdown. I don't know how this is so hard to understand that it's a dumb decision.
Listen, as I said, I actually need to decompress from how many stupid, and again, I don't want to say, I've tried not to be dismissive of people, but realistically, the more they try to talk to explain the rationale of why it's not a bad decision, the more I realize they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Because,
they know, they just don't want to, look. Like I said, it's not like I'm going to say Shanahan is a bad coach. I think he's a pretty good coach.
He's a good coach, but it's clear he's having issues with high-pressure situations. And guess what? Honestly, if I'm John Lynch and I need to cover my ass, I would actually send Kyle Shanahan to a sports psychologist.
Yeah, but the problem is
that obviously, folks can't know that he's seeing a sports psychologist because you know how sports people are when it comes to shrinks. Like they don't want that getting out. But realistically, they should be thinking about that seriously.
Because I think Shanahan. When he went on that last drive, at the end of the game, when Mahomes went on that drive and tied the game up, I think Shanahan is like, we gonna go through this shit again, here we go again, so I think what he said is, look, I'll take the ball first and let's see if we can score and see if we can. Just hold him up, we probably hold him to a field goal, and see if we can win the game that way. I think that's what, the way he said it.
Yes.
Because
that's honestly the best way if you're trying to cover up for Shanahan, that's honestly the that's honestly because he honestly has lost all confidence. That's the best defense he could give for himself. The whole score third thing is nonsensical. But I honestly think he just forgot the rule. I honestly think he just forgot the rule, and then once he realized that both teams would have the ball, he had to say something else.
Well, he probably realized it after. Probably while they going down the field and we can't win the game even if we score a touchdown, right? There's somebody from upstairs probably called us, we're not gonna win the game if we score a touchdown. Because like I tell you, I would have given anything to see the 49ers score a touchdown and run out of the field.
I mean,
oh my God, it would have been the team running out of the field and half the team saying, no, we can't use that. What a mistake.
I mean, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it is not that crazy. It's not that crazy. They can say what they want. It is not that crazy.
That would have been a top ten place. Not so top ten for years. Oh my God, it would have been great. It would have been priceless.
Yeah, I still can't get over that one because I keep saying to myself, this many people saying, oh, I didn't know the rule, has me thinking that the coaching staff didn't know the rule either.
Look, let me tell you something. Monday morning, that's the first thing Chris Carty said. That don't look good for Shanahan. That DeForest Buckner and I forget who was, but the other player that was on, and he said he didn't know the rules either. He didn't realize that. He was of the opinion that if they had scored a touchdown, the game was over.
Yeah.
Like the regular season.
I still believe that's what happened. I honestly think they had no idea. And that's why everyone was so confused during that entire sequence.
Look, let me tell you something. Okay? Let me tell you something.
Because you do realize, after the coin flip, like, they won the toss, Fred Warner goes, we want the ball. And the ref literally goes to him and says, are you sure? I mean, even Travis Kelce was on his podcast talking about that because no one could believe it.
No one could believe it. It's a toss that you want to win. That toss is a toss that you want to win because you want to give the ball to the other team. You don't take the ball first. You know, you want to win that toss. In the regular season, yeah, you want to win that toss because you want to go down and think, because if you score, you win the game. The game is done. But it's not like that. As long as the other team is guaranteed a chance to get the ball in overtime, you defend first.
I'm just thrilled that we have this saved in time, just so we can go back for years to come and just try to explain to folks just again how just monumentally stupid that decision was.
Let me tell you something. And like I said, I have picked the 49ers to win the Super Bowl.
Well, I had to pick them too because I saw the matchup and said, realistically, the 49ers can only lose this Super Bowl. The Chiefs, like, yes, the Chiefs put together the drive to win the game. So, yes, so, like, the Chiefs fans are going to say, you're disrespecting the Chiefs. But honestly, the 49ers kept giving them, or the Chiefs, every opportunity to go win the game. That game was more about the 49ers finding ways to lose the game because they had... I mean, they had the Chiefs dead to rights so many times where they just need to, A, execute one or two plays better to get in a little bit better position for a field goal. They stalled so many of their own drives that it was only a 10-point lead when it should have been closer to 20. It was not that close. It was a one-score game, but it was the Chiefs that just looked like they were just hanging on for dear life versus the 49ers versus... You know, it's back and forth. Both teams are competing hard. It's like, no, the 49ers are just stubbing their toe every single time they get a chance.
Yeah, the problem with that game is that when you had somebody down, because, I mean, the Chiefs defense was playing its heart out in the first half. That offense couldn't do anything. Okay? That offense couldn't do anything. The defense was fighting, but the 49ers was having their way. But they just wasn't scoring points. You know, to me, they didn't put their foot on the gas enough while that, you know, he was landing punches, but you had them up against the ropes, and for some reason, you can't put them down. And the whole thing in boxing, they always say, if you let a good fighter hang around, hey, you never know.
Yeah.
Don't let it go to the last round, because anything could happen. You see, because then he knows he has none to lose. And that's the problem with when you take the ball and then they end up with the ball last.
Yeah, Kelly, yeah, we'll just call it a day from there, because, I mean, it's so obvious why that was a bad idea. And yet still people don't understand why it's such a bad idea. But I know you keep saying, I know you keep saying that folks are rationalizing it, but I think literally some of them don't actually understand the concept.
Because I think some of them do. They don't want to. They don't want to admit that. They don't want to admit it. If it was Mike Tomlin, you would have heard the amount of people that would have tell you how bad that decision is and whatever and whatever and whatever. I'm telling you. You know, I heard people rationalize when Pete Carroll called that pass instead of running.
I mean, it was such a brilliant pass play. It's just that the Patriots scouted it out so well. You know, it just didn't work out. It just didn't work out.
So, you know, because it's the reason I said that play was a dumb play was that on first down, Marshawn Lynch got 5.5 yards on first down. It's not like on first down they ran and
we go through this entire sequence all the time, and I get increasingly frustrated. Actually, some of the people who were probably rationalizing the play are some of the people who think that was a good pass. That slant was a good call, because again, the time left on the clock against Tom Brady, you score a touchdown on that play, you still give Brady enough time to get down the field. It's not the game's not over yet. Like, I hope, like, again, people still never grasp that concept. The game would not have been over yet, even if Seattle scores on that play. It's such a dumb call because of the fact you want Marshawn to run again. You want him to chew up more time on the clock if he doesn't get in the end zone. You want to run two plays. You don't want to score on one play. How is this so hard for people to understand? There are people who still argue that today. That's why I want to capture this moment in time, because there's still some people who will argue years from now that this was a good decision to take the ball and it wasn't a bad decision.
It's something else. Let's see.
Yeah. But anyway, so long story short, Steve Wilkes should have gotten fired because he didn't prep the guys on the overtime rule. That's the big takeaway.
it's all Steve's fault. It's all Steve's fault. He couldn't stop Mahomes in the second half.
Yeah, so not only did Steve Wilkes not get any head coaching interview opportunities because the 49ers were in the Super Bowl, he gets thrown under the bus by the team for his efforts as well. It's like, it's just like, it's a chef's kiss moment of just like, go bleep yourself, because it's just like, I can't interview for jobs because teams, you won't let me approach teams. And you're going to fire me after the season. It's like, wow, okay.
Your job was to win, you didn't win. Come on, how hard is that? How hard is that to figure?
Yeah. All right, Kelly, you take it easy.
Okay. imagine. Well,
there you got it, folks. I mean, it's still ridiculous that we're even at this phase, but yeah, that's what Kyle Shanahan has left us with. It's just the nonsense of dealing with the Super Bowl aftermath and not taking much accountability, if anything. It's just more doubling down on the same amount of BS that we heard the night of the Super Bowl. It doesn't make any sense. And of course, the deflection of firing Wilkes just adds further fuel to the fire. So, yeah, we'll cover more of this as we go along. But, yeah, just pretty absurd reaction throughout. So, we'll see how it goes. But that's going to do it for us. And, yeah, have a good one, folks.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.